I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Time flies, and so very quickly we have already entered 2 years into the so-called New Year, 2020. It's no longer a New Year, 2 months into the year. And very soon, yes, the year will be over. Just as we said last year, 2019 will be over soon, and it was over very, very quickly. It's the same this year. Maybe to the older ones, the year will be passing faster than to those who are younger. So let us, my dear friends, rekindle our love for the Lord if we lost our love for Him, and let us quicken our steps so that when the Lord returns, He may not find us wanting, but we may all be faithful to Him and hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My topic this morning is blessing, blessing, and blessing. Maybe I should say blessings, blessings, and blessings, because the blessings that the Lord shower upon us are so abundant, so numerous. Like the psalmist, we say that if we try to reckon them, count them, and try to reckon up, that we cannot reckon them up in order unto the one true living God. They are so numerous beyond our ability to count them. Now, but what is meant by blessings? Now, to the older folks among the Chinese, blessings mean to have lots of children. So if you meet an older or old Chinese man and you make this comment to him and say, "Oh, you have lots of children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren," invariably he will beam with gladness and with pride. Yes, he's very, very happy that he has got so many descendants. Now then, generally to Chinese Singaporeans, having blessings means to have lots of material things. And then as far as the Chinese are concerned, you know, the letter Fu, which means blessing, actually to them means happiness, prosperity, and longevity. But as far as God is concerned, the blessings that God talks about from His word are spiritual blessings, usually spiritual blessings. And so the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians in Ephesus, blessed and praised the one true living God for the spiritual blessings that God has showered upon His people. And so he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now my question for all of us is, what do we value more? Spiritual blessings or material blessings? Friends, material blessings are temporal. They will be gone in next to no time. They can very well perish in our time, in our life. Even great glories of great empires would have to go. You remember the British used to boast about their glory. They would say that the sun never sets, or the sun does not set in the British Empire. And they used to think of Britain as Great Britain, and today they still think of Britain as Great Britain. But in actual fact, the sun has set on Great Britain, and today Great Britain is no longer Great Britain. It is simply Britain, yes. Now, in any case, whatever material greatness you have built up, or whatever material wealth that you have accumulated, we all understand this truth, and that is that when we pass away from this earth, we are not going to bring any of these things along with us. For naked we came into this world, and for sure naked we are going to leave this world. Whereas spiritual blessings are different. Spiritual blessings come for eternity. Now, I've talked about two of them already in a message I spoke a few weeks ago, namely the blessing of being elected, the blessing of being predestinated to be saved, the blessing of being adopted by the one true living God to be His children. Now, today, since I've covered them, I will not talk about them, but merely read the two verses that we spoke on, namely verses 4 and 5. If you look at verses 4 and 5 of first of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he gave us these two wonderful blessings. The blessing of being chosen by the one true living God to be his children. The blessing of being adopted by him to be his children. Then we go on to verse 6. Verse 6 says, we have this blessing of being accepted. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We have been accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the next blessing. Then look at the next blessing. Verse 7. We have redemption and forgiveness of sin through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Then you look at another blessing. Look at verse 9. We have what is known as divine revelation. You see, God shows us his truth. God reveals to us the mystery of his will. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. All right, then you go on to the next blessing. Verse 10. As we have the privilege of having union in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in him, all things in heaven and in earth, in one. Yes, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. My dear friends, that is a great blessing to us. Now, I will expand on this a little later. Now, look at verse 11. Now we have another blessing, the blessing of an eternal inheritance. So we read, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Of course, this inheritance would include heaven. It would include the new body that we are going to have. Yes, a spiritual body, a glorified body that we are going to receive someday. And this inheritance will of course include our heavenly mansion which the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. Then you look at another blessing. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 tells us that we have been sealed or marked out as being genuine children of God. So we read in verse 13, In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. My dear friends, we have been sealed by God's, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise, as being children of the one true living God. And verse 14, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I will expand on this a little later on. Now, as I said, since I've covered the first two blessings, I will not talk about them, but just go on to verse 6, which says, we have been accepted by God in the beloved. Verse 6 again, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved here is, of course, none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it is vitally important that we are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how important it is in our earthly relationships that we experience acceptance by people. Now, most of us here are either migrants or descendants of migrants. Can you imagine in Australia that every day you go out, you feel that you are not accepted? You walk along the streets and people shout at you, hey, you aliens, go home. My dear friends, I think you will feel very, very miserable if you are not accepted here. But thank God this is not the case in Australia. I think most of us here feel very, very accepted here in Australia. Now, Then, but you really do not need to have a rejection as dramatic as being shouted as to feel rejected. Now today, now because of our East Asian appearance, and because we have been profiled as being a carriers of the coronavirus, people sometimes do shun us. I mean, I do not know about you. I have that experience one day wanting to go up to our apartment on the fourth floor. My wife and I step into the lift, and then there was this lady out there. I say, "Hey, come in. It's all right. We understand, all right?" So we understand. We were shunned. My dear friends, if we are very, very sensitive, we can, of course, feel very hurt, feel very miserable, and we can feel very rejected. Now, how do you feel, my dear friends, in your school if you are not accepted where you are? You have been rejected. You are rejected by your classmates, rejected by your schoolmates, and so forth. I think you feel very, very miserable. Now, how do you feel if you are rejected or you don't feel accepted in the company that you work for? I'm sure you feel very, very miserable. But, my dear friends, thank God. God has accepted us. He has accepted us in Jesus Christ. We have been accepted as his sons and his daughters. John 1:12 says it clearly. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right or the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, my dear friends, we have been accepted by the one true living God. Aren't we grateful, friends, that we have been accepted by this the one true living God? And if we are very, very thankful to him that we have been accepted, then we must be very expressive in our gratitude to him. And we express our gratitude to him by loving him, by serving him, of course. Now, how sad and how terrifying it is, friends, to be rejected by the one true living God. Now, think of the genuine refugees that try to settle in Australia. They come here, they escape the persecution in their home country. In the home country, they face torture, or they might have to face a certain death. And they come to Australia to seek for refuge. But then they are not accepted here. They have to be deported and have to go back to their home country to face certain death or to face certain torture. How terrifying it will be to them. Like I can tell you this, friends, it will be infinitely more terrifying if we are rejected by the one true living God. It will be worse than refugees being rejected by Australia and have to go back to the home country. Because, my dear friends, we will be in a worse state. We will continue to be in a state of condemnation. The final destination of that situation is, of course, eternal hell, eternal damnation in the lake of fire, where we will be tormented day and night for all eternity. But the Lord be praised. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I understand this too, friends. It is not God who rejects us. It is actually we who reject him. Yes, that's the truth. The truth is, he invites us to come unto him with open arms. He says to us, "Come now and let us reason." Yes. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. My dear friends, he all welcomes us with open arms. So friends, if you have not come to him yet, don't turn your back to him this morning. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Receive him into your heart. Yes, and enjoy the privilege of being accepted by him. Now, understand this truth also, that it is only in the Beloved that we are accepted. We are accepted not based on our own merits. No, our so-called merits and our righteousnesses are not righteousnesses at all. They are filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. Now, my dear friends, think of it. If we were accepted based on our merits, if we were accepted based on our good works, you know what would happen someday? If it is possible that we we are accepted by our good works or by our merits. Of course, that's not possible. But imagine if it is possible that we were accepted by our own merits, by our own righteousness. One day when we get to heaven, when the saints are singing praises to the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You know what we will be singing? We'll be singing, "Worthy am I. Glory be unto me. I've done it all. I'm here, I'm where I am because of my good works." We'll be singing our own praises. But friends, that can never, ever happen. You can never get to heaven, yes, based on your own merits. Because God is very clear. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, friends, we are accepted not based on our own merits. We are accepted also, let us understand, in the Beloved, not in any other person. Not in Mary, not in Buddha, not in Muhammad, not in anybody. We are accepted in the Beloved, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord has made it very, very clear. The Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, by him only." Now the next spiritual blessing that we have been blessed with is that we have redemption. And we have forgiveness of sin, verse 7, "in whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And the Apostle Peter tells us this same wonderful truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, 8, Peter says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is meant by redemption? Now, to redeem means to buy back, all right? Perhaps this little illustration might help us understand what redemption is. Now, this church, this particular church here, 60 odd years ago, were built by a group of Baptists. So they raised up this church for the witness of the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say that this church belonged to the Lord because it was raised up for his witness. And then in time, what happened was the witness must have waned and faltered to the extent that one day this church was actually sold to a Hindu meditation group some 20 odd years ago. But the Lord, in his own good time, appointed us to buy this church. And so, as it were, we bought this church back for the one true living God. The Lord has redeemed this church for himself. Now, this thought of redemption of this church didn't occur to us until one day a young Korean pastor who ministered to us in the earlier years said this to us. He said, "Did you realize that you actually redeemed this place for the Lord?" Yes, so this place was redeemed for the Lord. Or we might say that the Lord redeemed this place unto himself. He bought it back unto himself. Now that is what is meant by redemption. Friends, understand, the Lord has bought us back unto himself. We are his. We belong to him because he created us. But he lost us because we are descendants of Adam. In Adam we sin. In Adam we have inherited his sinful nature. We became rebels. We rebelled against the one true living God. We became his enemies. And we became slaves to sin. Yes, sin was our master. But our God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to redeem us unto himself by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is very, very important that we realize that the redemption was made by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord actually made it very, very clear in the Old Testament that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In ancient times, the Jews had to bring animal sacrifices into the temple to present the sin offerings unto the one true living God if they wanted their sins to be forgiven. And then any offering would not be an offering except that blood or the blood of the animal was shed. So the blood of the animal had to be shed. And when the offerer brought the offering into the temple to be offered, he actually had to look by faith to the day when God would provide for himself a sacrifice. Yes, and God indeed did provide his own sacrifice. And that sacrifice was the Lamb of God, none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, friends, understand this truth. The Lord gave his all for us. The blood of the Lamb is precious. That's why the Word of God says, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, precious to the one true living God. He shed it to redeem us and to forgive us of our sins. Why did he do that? Because he loved us. That's why he did that. So, my dear friends, having received this blessing of redemption, blessing of forgiveness of sin, what should our response be? Seeing that he has loved us so much, my dear friends, we must love him in return. We must love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. It's easy to say, Lord, I love you. Easy to say that. But friends, let not our love be lip service. When we say we love the Lord, then we must express our love by our actions, by our service unto him. We must then correspond our love for him with our service unto him, by serving him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Now, these spiritual blessings of redemption and forgiveness are in accordance to the riches of his grace, according to the riches of his grace. So you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, all right? Chapter 1, verse 7, we are talking about receiving the blessings of redemption from him and the forgiveness of sin. And all these blessings are given to us according to the riches of his grace. Now, grace is a very beautiful word, as we said many times before. When we get to glory, the grace of God will be something that we will never cease to wonder about. How could God be so kind and so gracious to me? There is nothing good in me. And now today, if we are saved, if we have experienced the grace of the one true living God, like Paul, we must be saying, yes, by the grace of God, I am what I am, all by the grace of God. Now, how rich is this grace, friends? Do we sometimes ask, how rich is this grace? Now, let me give you a very, very simple example of grace. Right, of something which we call common grace. And you see how great it is. Consider the rain that comes down upon us. It falls on the desert, and it falls on fertile lands. It drops on rocks that don't absorb the moisture. It falls on soil that gladly takes it in. It falls on streets that don't require it. It falls on grass and flowers that thirst for it. Such is the grace of God, my dear friends. We don't ask for it. We don't deserve it. We are not worthy of it. But God simply gives it to us. Yes, he gives it up because he wills to give it to us. That is how kind and that is how gracious this God of ours is. And what the Lord does, he does it perfectly. He does it absolutely perfectly, freely and generously. Let's look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Yes, he gives his blessings to us according toward us in all wisdom. Yes, according to the riches of his grace, which he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now the word abounded has the idea of lavishing. It has the idea of heaping on. The Lord lavishes his grace upon us. He heaps upon us his grace. He pours down his spiritual blessings upon us, just like the torrential rain that comes down upon us. And it is all done in all wisdom and prudence. Yes, these blessings that come down upon us in accordance to His grace are all done in done in all wisdom and prudence. Yes. Now this God that lavishes upon us the riches of His grace is all-knowing and He's all-knowledgeable. All-knowing and He's all-knowing. Now man, no matter how wise and how knowledgeable, is limited in wisdom and knowledge. And we see it all the time. Outstanding manager with a stellar quality is appointed to a multi-billion dollar business. And then the shocking news is one day this stellar quality manager falls from grace and he has to be sacked. Now we see this in the case of this man called Dennis Muhlenberg. You heard of Dennis Muhlenberg? Now Dennis Muhlenberg was the CEO of Boeing, the company that manufactures aeroplanes. Now he was appointed to be the chairman and CEO of Boeing, and he held that position for something like 5 years. But last year in December, he was sacked from his position. Now, why was he sacked? Now, he was one who was noted to be very good, wise, and very knowledgeable. Yes, but he was sacked. Yes, why was he sacked? Now, he was sacked because the plane, the 737 MAX, which was supposed to dominate the sky for short distance travel, crashed on two occasions, killing something like more than 300 persons. And Dennis Muhlenberg could not fix the problem. So the company had no choice, but in the end fired Dennis Muhlenberg. So he was not as wise and as knowledgeable as people thought him to be. In other words, he lacked wisdom. He lacked knowledge. But friends, this God of ours is not man. He's not lacking his wisdom. He's not lacking in the knowledge. They are unlimited. Yes, see how wise and how prudent he is when he applied his mercy and his justice upon us, when he poured down his grace upon us. There is perfect harmony between his mercy and his justice. Now, you know that God is perfectly merciful, infinitely merciful. God wants to forgive us of our sins, of course. But how could he forgive us of our sins if our sins were not paid for? Yes, he would be very, very unjust if he forgave us our sins if our sins were not paid for. And so what did he do? What did he do? In his infinite wisdom, in accordance to his love, he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, to pay for our sins. So now he is in a position to forgive us our sins because our sins have been paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, his mercy and his justice operate in the most harmonious manner. See how wise this God of ours is. Yes. Now, let us look at the next blessing which the Lord has given to us. He shows us his truth. All right, he makes known to us the mystery of his will. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Now, this mystery is not something that is mysterious, but rather it is something that is kept hidden by God until a certain time. And then at that certain time, he would then reveal that truth to his servants. And in this case, the Lord revealed the mystery of his will to the Apostle Paul and to the other apostles. Now, what is this mystery of the will that the Lord reveals to his apostles, and today is revealed to us because it's revealed in his word? Now, what is this mystery of his will? Verse 10, let's look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. He's going to gather all things unto himself. First, the Jews and the Gentiles will be gathered as one. Now, you know that historically, the Jews regarded themselves as being separated from the Gentiles, and legitimately so, because they were God's chosen people, they were given the laws of God, And they were taught the ways, the right way to worship the one true living God. And God had made a covenant with their ancestor, Abraham, that Abraham and his descendants would be God's people and God would be their God. So they regarded themselves as chosen, and rightfully so, and they were separated from the Gentiles. But they also knew from God's word that one day the Gentiles will become God's people. They knew that. Yes, so when the gospel came, of course, the Gentiles became God's people. But what the Jews were not aware of was the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles one day will be placed on equal footing. Now, that's the mystery. They didn't understand that, that they would be placed on equal footing. You look at Ephesians chapter 3. Now, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, verses 4 to 6, all right? Chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Verse 4. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul had written to the folks in the seat in Ephesus previously, talking about this mystery of his will. And now he says, whereby, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Yes, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Jews and Gentiles were going to be placed on equal footing. Yes, so when we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we are actually placed on equal footing as the Jewish believers. And then the other truth is this, all right, the other part of the mystery is this, that all things in heaven. Now, what would be all these things in heaven? They will include, of course, the unfallen angels and the saints of God in heaven, and then all things on earth, which means sinners who have been restored on earth to Christ would be gathered as one. One day, this is going to happen. And it's not going to happen just for one time, but it's for a period of time, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to be, the gathering will be forever and ever. Yes, forever and ever. Now, what a great and glorious gathering it will be. Now, there is no perfect analogy to this great gathering, but maybe this little illustration might help us have a little appreciation of this great, grand gathering, magnificent gathering that we are going to experience someday. Now, you know, on national days of many countries, they would have national displays, national parades, and so forth. Singapore is no exception. So on National Day, Singapore will, of course, put up a good show. They have what is known as the National Day Parade, the National Day Display. So on the parade ground, you see this big display, a big gathering of people, yes, gathered together with all their dancers, the movements, and the lights, and the music background, and the colors. The whole gathering looks so magnificent, so great. Now, but they didn't suddenly appear like that. Yes, when they were practicing to make that kind of presentation, they would have been divided into parts. And each of the parts would have people participating in it. Yes, and they would train. They'll prepare themselves. But when they were doing the practicing and so forth, there's nothing spectacular about it. The movements, dances, and all could be very, very dull. But then on the day of the special gathering, when the whole thing is properly choreographed with the music, with the movements, dances, and so forth, and the colors, wow, the whole thing looks so magnificent. And the most wonderful thing is, if you were a participant of that grand display, you turn on the television to see a replay of it. So, oh, you mean I was in there? I was a member of that big gathering. My dear friends, your feeling about your being part of that gathering is nothing compared to the day when there is this big gathering that is going to take place in heaven, of which you are going to be a part. My dear friends, you know how great it will be that we would be a part of this big gathering that's going to take place in heaven. And this big gathering is not something that is going to be for a short period of time, but it's going to be forever and ever and ever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the big question is this. We can talk about this big gathering. The question is, would you be a part of this big gathering one day? Yes? Now, if you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? This, you will be out of it. Now, if you are not in union with the Lord Jesus Christ and out of it, you will be somewhere else. Yes? And the place that you would be going to will indeed be something that is very, very sorrowful, something that you would wish, you wouldn't wish it on anybody else, my dear friends. You're going to suffer for all eternity. You're going to suffer the torments of eternal hell forever and ever. So why want to go that way? Why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ today? Receive him as Lord and Savior and be a part of this great gathering someday. Now let's look at the next blessing, verse 13. In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, my dear friends, the blessing is we have been sealed or marked out as being owned by the one true living God. Yes, the Holy Spirit has sealed us as our being God's possession. Now, people today like to tattoo themselves to adorn themselves. Then there are others who will tattoo themselves to identify themselves with some groups or some gangs or some organizations. But friends, we have been marked out, yes, sealed by the Holy Spirit as belonging to the one true living God. And then the wonderful thing is this Holy Spirit who marks us out, who seals us, is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, what is meant by that? My dear friends, he's the down payment of the inheritance that God has promised to us. In other words, the Holy Spirit is present in us to give us the assurance that this inheritance is ours. You understand? Yes. As I said, this inheritance, what is it made up of? Of course, it's made up of heaven. It's made up of the glorified body that we are going to receive someday. It's made up of the heavenly mansion that we are going to dwell in someday, which the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. And of course, other blessings. All right, these will be included in that big inheritance. But friends, right now, we are not enjoying the inheritance in full. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, God's pledge, that this other inheritance will be ours someday. When will we receive this full inheritance? Now, the next part of that verse tells us that when we receive this full inheritance, all right, it will be ours when the Lord's redemption of the purchased possession is complete. Sounds a bit complicated there, but what it means is this. We have been purchased by the one true living God, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are God's possession, right? But understand this truth, this redemption is not complete yet. The Lord, of course, has, we belong to the one true living God, that's absolutely true. But we are not completely redeemed yet. One day this redemption will be complete. And when will it be completed, my dear friends? Now this redemption will be completed when our salvation is complete. One day we'll be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And that's when our salvation will be completed. And that's when the redemption will be complete, fully completed. And all the inheritance that we have been talking about here will be ours. Now I'd like to dwell on this truth that we have been sealed by God's mighty Holy Spirit, marked out or stamped on by the seal of the Holy Spirit as belonging to God. Do we ever sit down sometimes to think what it means to be sealed or marked out by God's mighty Holy Spirit? I don't think we think about it. I don't think about it, but let's think about it for a moment. Sealed by God's Holy Spirit, what does it mean? Now, I read you something that is written by this man called H.A. Ironside. a preacher of the gospel in time past. He says this, listen to what Ironside said concerning the glory of being sealed and marked out as belonging to God. Suppose that God, while planning the church, had said, I'm going to show my grace and the exceeding riches of my love. I shall make fallen and sinful men like you and me, derelicts, drunkards, thieves, into beautiful creatures as the angels are, as Michael and Gabriel, those who would accept my son Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Would not this already be very beautiful and wondrous? Of course, friends, you say, oh, you mean I'm going to be like Gabriel? You mean I'm going to be like Michael? That would be already very, very glorious, right? But listen, but what if God were to say, I shall make the redeemed man greater than all of the angelic hosts. I shall mark out a greater place for them than that held by the greatest of all angels who stand before my throne. I shall mark them out unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Wow, that is something else, friends. We are going to be put in the place of sonship or daughtership. We have been made heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels are not made heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are made heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to rule with him someday, my dear friends. Yes, this is the significance of our being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise as our being belonging to the one true living God. Do we not call it a blessing, friends? It is a blessing. Let's realize that that is a great blessing to us, given by the one true living God, as being sealed by God's mighty Holy Spirit for this very purpose, that one day we will inherit our inheritance in full. So the Lord has blessed us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ with spiritual blessings from above. We have been accepted in Jesus Christ. We have redemption, and we have forgiveness of sin. He pours down his grace upon us when he shows us his redemption and shows us his forgiveness for us to experience. Then he has revealed to us this wonderful truth, the mystery of his will, that one day all things in heaven and all things on earth will be gathered as one unto the Lord, and we will be gathered unto him, not just for one day, not for just a few months, not just for a few years, but forever and ever and ever. And then the next blessing is that we have been sealed by God's Holy Spirit, marked out, if you like, as belonging to him, as adopted children of God. And then we have been made heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we will be more glorious than angels. Think about it, my dear friends. What do you call all these things that we have received? Are they not blessings? My dear friends, they surely are blessings. They are abundant blessings, innumerable blessings that come down from the one true living God. But you will have no part in these blessings if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is inviting you to come unto him. He says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. So what is your answer, friends? Yes or no? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for abundant blessings that you have showered upon your people. Teach us, O Lord God, to be very, very grateful to you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us. O Lord, we pray that when we read your word, we may meditate on your word and realize the abundant blessings that you have showered upon us. Oh, Father, we realize that we are only digging the, scraping the surface this morning as we consider your blessings. Surely they are deeper than what we have talked about this morning. Oh, Lord, we pray that your people may realize that we are indeed very, very privileged to have been predestinated, elected to be your sons and daughters. And we pray for those who are still outside you and who have no idea of what these blessings yet, because they have never experienced these blessings. We pray, O Lord God, that you will move their hearts so that they will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.